All right, let's take our Bibles this evening, open to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're continuing our series through the book of Matthew on the King and Kingdom. Again, Matthew writing specifically to the Jews, trying to show that Jesus Christ is the King. And then, of course, as we come to chapters 5, 6, and 7, this is all dealing with what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, in chapter 5, we find what many people refer to as the Beatitudes. And then we come to chapter 6 and dealing with our worship and what worship truly is and how our worship should be right with the Lord. And then as we come to chapter 7, chapter 7 really is about learning how to be discerning, learning about discernment. And again, I would say probably one of the most misused verses in Scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, where he says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," right? Of course, everybody loves to quote that verse. But he's talking about discernment, using discernment in how we're judging, how we're helping. And then, of course, last week we looked from verses 7 down to verse number 12, about asking God for discernment and how that is so important in our life, and how when we ask God for wisdom, God will help us and give us wisdom to make the right decisions and things. And as we come to tonight, we're just really, I really debated about this because from verse number 13 all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse number 28, it really just ties together, but I feel like going from verse 13 to verse number 28 or 29 all in just one message is going to be too much, right? And so I thought we could do two verses tonight, right? So 13 to 28 is too much, but two I think we can do, all right? And so we're going to kind of break this down a little bit as we go through the end of the chapter here. But notice as we come to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, right? He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now again, don't miss this. Jesus has not switched topics. Okay, he's going to deal with some different things, but he's still dealing with the same topic of discernment. Okay, but he's going to deal with a couple different topics as we go through about why it's so important to be discerning and use wisdom. Okay, now as we come to really, again, as I said, verses 13 all the way to the end of the chapter, this is kind of really bringing us to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And again, when we come to the very end here, we're coming to this point where Jesus is now saying, okay, I've given you this information. I've told you what I expect of you. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to apply it? Are you going to do anything with it? And so he's taught about true righteousness. He's taught about prayer. He's taught about laying up treasures in heaven. We saw all of those back in chapter 6. And worry, talking about worry, what we should do with worry. We're looking at judging and discerning here in chapter 7. And so again, he's basically bringing us to this point in our life where we have to make a decision and say, what are we going to do with what Jesus has said? And so throughout the rest of this chapter, Jesus begins to present a series of contrasts, okay? There's contrasts here. In these two verses, we see that there are two gates, right? In next week, we're going to see that there are two trees. We're also going to see there are two professions. At the end of the chapter, we're going to see there are two builders. And so you can go through and read this. I hope you do. Take time to go through and read this on your own. But you see, he contrasts one with the other, two gates, one gate, the second gate, two builders, one builder, the second builder, two trees, one tree, the second tree. And he contrasts these things because basically, again, what he's showing us is that there are basically one of two choices that you have to make. There's one of two choices that you're going to make in life dealing with these topics, dealing with this that Jesus told us. Okay? So tonight, just looking at verse number 13 and 14, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So here's what Jesus is saying basically tonight. Which road are you on? Which road are you on? And I want you to notice the first thing he says here. Notice there are only two gates. Again, we're going to use this contrast because this is what Jesus does. He's using this contrast of two, right? There's two gates. There's two roads. We're going to see this, okay? And he says there is the straight gate and there is the broad gate, the wide gate. So there are two gates, the straight gate and the broad gate. Now, Jesus does not present, if we could say, many roads to God. That's not what he's presenting here. Jesus, he presents only two roads, okay? But here's the thing. Only one actually reaches God. Again, look at what he says, right? "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Again, I'm going to jump ahead of myself here, but he's basically saying there's two gates, there's two roads. One leads to life, one leads to destruction. One leads to life, one leads to destruction, okay? So again, two roads here, two gates. And so Jesus is not taking all ways and saying, okay, you can go any way you want and it's going to get you to God. No, Jesus says, this is where we're at. There are two ways that you can go on this, okay? In fact, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 21, verse number 8, God says that he sets before us the way of life or the way of death. That's it. There's only two ways that we can go, either life or death, life or destruction, okay? And this is the consistent all throughout Scripture, life and destruction. We'll see that, okay? So let's first of all look at the wide gate, okay? Now he says, "Enter ye at the straight gate," but then he kind of pauses and then he deals with the wide gate in verse number 13. And then in verse number 14, he comes back to the straight gate, okay? So let's look at the wide gate first, or the broad gate, okay? He says, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat," okay? So the wide gate, it's a broad gate. There isn't a single hindrance to entering the wide gate. No hindrance at all. It is almost as if we could say it's our natural tendency to enter into this gate. It's the broad gate. It's wide, right? There's nothing keeping anyone from entering this gate. Nothing keeping anyone from going down this road, because this is our natural tendency to go down this road, because we are all born sinners. Every one of us are born sinners. And so this is our natural tendency. We're going to go down the broad gate. It's a popular gate. It's very popular. In fact, notice, what did he say? "Many there be that go in thereat," right? There's plenty of people entering the broad gate, the wide gate. It's accommodating. Many are going and everybody wants you to come. Hey, come along with us. This is what's so important, okay? But here's the thing that we find out about the broad gate. And please understand, where Jesus is, he's just talked to us about discerning, being able to judge and use wisdom in discerning and judgment, okay? And he's going to talk with us here about the most important decision that a person can ever make in their life. Again, which road are you on? Because Jesus's desire is that every person would receive eternal life. Jesus' desire is that every person would be in heaven with him one day. But he's showing us that that's not the way the world is going to portray it. the way the world is going to portray it is going to be very open, very broad. Everybody's going to heaven, right? Have anybody ever heard that expression, we're all children of God? No, we're not all children of God. We're not all God's children, yay? He says there's two ways here. And he's going to contrast what Jesus said is the way that leads to life versus the way that leads to destruction. Again, the broad way, the wide gate is very popular. It's the one that most people are going down. It's accommodating. It's welcoming. Hey, everybody can come. Everybody's welcome. It doesn't really matter what you believe. We're all God's children. We're all going to go to heaven. But Jesus says there's two roads here. There's two gates. One is open, broad, and says, hey, everybody come. We're just all going to have a good time. But he says the problem is that road leads to destruction. It leads to death. The world says all religion leads to God. It doesn't matter what religion you are. As long as you're religious, as long as you're good, as long as you're moral, surely you'll end up making it one day. I mean, after all, God is just at the end when you die and you stand before God, God's just going to look at all the good things that you've done and he's going to put them on a scale. God's going to look at all the bad things you've done and he's going to put them on a scale. And hopefully your good outweighs the bad. And if your good outweighs the bad, then hey, you're all right. But if the bad outweighs the good, uh-oh. You understand? That's what religion teaches. That's the broad way. That's the broad way. Hey, you can do it yourself. There's something that you can do to be able to get to God. There's something that you can do yourself to make it on your own. Can I say, though, sincerity is not enough. Many people are religious and they are sincerely religious. They're sincerely religious, okay? But religion does not take a person to heaven. I have literally seen where when I was a young boy in Italy, I literally saw people as they would bring the idols and things down the streets. They would literally get on their hands and knees and crawl down the streets, and then they would crawl up the steps into the cathedrals. And by the time they get up there, there's blood literally running down their legs. Can I tell you something? That's pretty dedicated. Just saying, that's pretty dedicated. That's pretty zealous. But here's the thing, friend. Zeal does not get you to heaven. In fact, this is what Paul even says about the Jews. Look over with me in the book of Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, Paul talking about Israel. And remember, Israel is God's chosen people, right? We would think of all people that are going to be saved, all people that are going to go to heaven, surely it's going to be Israel, because Israel is God's chosen people. But watch what Paul says about them. In verse number 1 of Romans chapter 10, brethren, so he's talking to believers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know what Paul understood? Not every Jewish man, not every Jewish woman was saved. In fact, watch what he says. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. What's Paul saying about Israel? They're very zealous. They're very sincere about their religion. They're very zealous for God, but watch what he says, but not according to knowledge. Oh, they're very zealous. They're very sincere. And look, can I say, in religion today, there are many, many sincerely religious people today, very zealous for their religion. But just like Paul says, not according to knowledge. What does he mean? They're not doing it God's way. Look what he says in the very next verse. For they, Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, that's what he says, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What'd Paul say about Israel? They're very zealous for the things of God. But he says the problem is they're trying to create their own righteousness. What's he saying? They're trying to do their own works. They're trying to get to God their own way, not God's way. You see, that's the broad way. That broad way, everybody's going to make it. We're all going to make it. We're all going to get there. No, that is not what Jesus says. That's not what God says. The broad way says truth is relative. You know, who are you to say who can and who can't, right? Judge not, lest ye be judged, right? Who are you to judge and say who can and who can't? I'm not judging. I'm not judging who can go to heaven and who can't. I'm just telling you what God said. God said there's two ways. There's only two ways, one of two ways. One way leads to life, one way leads to death. That's it. That's it. That's what Jesus said. There's only two ways. There's only two gates, the wide gate. But notice the straight gate. Now, the word straight here does not mean straight like a straight line. Don't misunderstand that, right? If you notice the spelling of the word straight means it's narrow. It's restrictive, you know? Anybody ever heard of a straight jacket? Anybody heard of a straight jacket? Does that mean the jacket's very nicey? You know, it's been pressed and it's very nice and straight. Is that what a straight jacket means? No. What does a straight jacket do? It restrains someone, right? They have you put your arms in it, and then those things, they cross this way and it crosses that way and it ties behind you, and then they got something that ties. I mean, they make it so that you can't move, right? That's the straight gate. Now watch what he says here about the straight gate. The straight gate, okay? Go back with me to Matthew. He says, enter in at the straight gate. That word straight means narrow. The narrow gate, and again, you have to understand culture at this time. If you remember around when they would have cities, they would have city walls around the cities, and then they would have different gates that people would be able to enter through. But at night, because of fear of enemies, they would close the main gates, the broad gates, the wide gates, but there would be a very small gate down kind of in the corner. And this small gate down in the corner was a gate that it was very difficult to get through. Because if an enemy decided to attack the city at night, they didn't want to make it easy for them to get in. In fact, the Bible actually has a name for this gate. Does anybody know what the name of this gate is? You know what it is? It's called the eye of the needle. Remember when Jesus says it's easier for a rich man to go into heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle? Everybody's like, an eye of a needle? There's no way for a giant camel to go through an eye. No, that's not what he's talking about. That's our thinking. We think an eye of a needle is an actual needle, and that little bitty eye at the very end where that little bitty thread has to go through, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that gate. It was called the eye of a needle, because it was very hard to get through that gate, right? And so this is what he's saying. You've got this broad gate that, man, anybody, it's easy to get through. But there was also this narrow gate, this straight gate. And think about what the Bible tells us. Even in the book of John, what does Jesus tell us in John chapter 10 and verse number 9? He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see, Jesus said he is the door to salvation. He is the door to eternal life. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, Jesus said, there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the narrow gate, the straight gate. What's interesting is that it seems the narrow gate, as we look in this passage, is not as obvious as the wide gate. Did you get that? Did you kind of see that here? He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And notice, and few there be that, what are those last two words? Find it. In other words, there's no giant neon sign above it saying, enter here, right? Nothing like that. He says it's harder to find. It's not this huge, open, wide gate. No, he says it's a narrow gate. It's not as obvious as the wide gate. He says, few there be that find it. Now, please understand, when Jesus says, few there be that find it, he's not saying that salvation is exclusive to just a few. Now, salvation is exclusive, that is true. But it is exclusive because Jesus Christ is exclusive. In other words, there's only one door to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You don't go through that one door, you don't make it into heaven. That's pretty exclusive. But here's the thing. The door is exclusive, but here's the amazing thing. Anyone can enter through the door. The door is for anyone. I know there are some people that teach that salvation is just for a certain number of people or just a few people that have been chosen by God. God has only chosen a certain number of people to be saved. Friend, that's not true. God has not just chosen a certain number of people to be saved. God wants anyone. He is willing to save anyone who is willing to come through that door. That's why the Bible says very clearly, John 3:16, the most quoted verse in all scripture, says what? For God so loved the world. The world means anyone. Anyone that's in the world. God loves him. He wants him to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. But here's the thing. This is why it's exclusive. It can only be through that one door, that one gate. Jesus said, I am the door. I am that gate. You see, religion says, no, it doesn't matter. It can be any gate. You can go any way you want. If you think baptism will save you, get baptized. If you think church membership will save you, then join a church. If you think being good will save you, then be good. If you think keeping the Ten Commandments will save you, then keep the Ten Commandments. Any way is good. That's the broad gate. Because the narrow gate, Jesus said, I am the way. There's no other way. It's very exclusive, not for people, but it's exclusive in how you enter. You can only enter through Jesus Christ because the narrow gate requires repentance. It's not just about being a good person. The Bible very clearly tells us that we are to repent. In fact, look with me very quickly over in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse number 3 here. And I think as we go through here, you'll understand why there's no way that I could have gone from the rest of the chapter here. We're barely going to get through the two verses tonight. But in Luke chapter 13, verse number 3, what does Jesus say? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus says repentance is necessary for salvation. Repentance is necessary for salvation. Now, what is repentance? You see, again, I am naturally going down this broad road. I'm naturally going through this wide gate because that's my natural tendency. But when I come to realize, wait a minute, this road leads to death. This road leads to destruction. And there is only one door. There's only one gate over here that leads to life. Repentance is saying, hey, I'm going the wrong direction. I need to turn from this gate and I need to turn to this gate. You see, that's what repentance is. Recognizing that I cannot save myself, recognizing that I'm a sinner, I am heading to destruction, and now I need to turn from that and turn to this gate, turn to Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can save me from my sin. You see, if there's no repentance, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, I think I can still be good enough. I believe in Jesus, but I have to get baptized. I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to, wait, you're still looking at yourself. You're still thinking that somehow you're good enough to save yourself, and we're not. That's the broad way. The broad gate, that broad road is saying, hey, you can do it. Jesus says, no, you can't. Because if you stay on that road, it's going to lead to destruction. But if you will turn from that and you'll turn to that narrow gate and recognize that Jesus is the only one who can save you from your sin, and he says you can be saved. You see, salvation requires repentance. It requires faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. What am I doing? As I'm turning from my sin, I'm turning from this broad road, I'm turning to Jesus Christ and I'm putting my faith in him. I'm trusting that he and he alone can save me. Nothing else. No one else. Look, I love my grandparents and I love my parents, but my grandparents and my parents cannot save me. They can't do it. Only Jesus Christ can. Why? Because he's that narrow gate. He's that one that died for my sins. He's the one that was willing to go to the cross and pay for my sin and die for me and to be buried and to rise again the third day so that he could give me life. He's the only one that has done that. You see, salvation not only requires repentance and faith, but it also requires humility. As long as I think that salvation is about me, I can never be saved. As long as it's, oh, I can do it. There's something I can do. I can get baptized. I can be good. I can go to church. I can read my Bible. I can give. I can do this. I can do that. You see, it's all still about you. And it requires humility. We have to humble ourselves and recognize, I cannot do this. I cannot save myself. Only Jesus Christ can save me, and I surrender to him. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, very high religious man in Israel, and he says, aren't you a Pharisee? And Jesus tells this Pharisee, this religious man, ye must be born again. Religion could not save Nicodemus. All of the religious rituals that Nicodemus had done in his life could not save him. All the good things he had done in his life could not save him. Jesus said, you must be born again. You have to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and humble yourself before him. You cannot enter that gate carrying your pride, your works, your religion. Again, it's such an amazing picture. I wish I would have thought. I actually have a picture of the gate. Maybe next week I'll try to see if I can find it. When I was in Israel, I took a picture of the gate, this huge wide gate. And then over here, there's this really small narrow gate. And as we were going through, I asked the guy, I said, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, is this gate called the eye of the needle? And he stepped back and he looked at me and said, yes, how did you know that? I said, well, it's in the Bible. The Bible talks about it, right? But I said, that's it. Because again, think about this. If you're on a soldier or whatever, you can't ride your horse through. You're gonna have to get off. If you've got a sword or shield or something strapped to your back, you've got some type of luggage strapped to your back, you're gonna have to take it off to be able to get through there. I mean, you literally have to step over and you have to duck under and to be able to get through. You try to go through with your pride, you're not gonna make it. You try to go through with your sin, you're not gonna make it. You can't get through with any of those things. We have to be willing to repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ. There's only two gates. Notice, secondly, there are only two ways. There's only two ways. Broad is the way and narrow is the way. The gates speak of conversion, right? When we enter through that gate, we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But now the road that we are on, this road, this way, speaks of the Christian life, right? Broad is the way, right? Broad is the way. Broad is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life. The broad way, it's easy, it's spacious. There's no restrictions on the broad way. Sounds kind of like our culture, doesn't it? No restrictions. You just do what makes you happy. You just do what you think is best. The Broadway follows the crowd. It demands very little. In fact, the Broadway actually promotes self-living, self-rule. It's all about you. It's all about your rights. It's all about what you want. It's all about what makes you feel good. That's our society today. It's all about you, right? That's the Broadway. In fact, Proverbs 14, verse 12 tells us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You follow what you think, you follow what you believe is right, and it will lead to destruction and death. Why? Because it's that broad way. Through that wide gate, the broad way says, live for yourself. Follow your heart. Do what makes you happy. It's interesting. That's not what the narrow way says. The broad way says it's all about you. The narrow way says it's all about Jesus. The narrow way, the Christian life, as we think about this, is not merely entering a gate, but it is walking this road, this narrow road. And yes, sometimes the narrow road can be hard. Sometimes the narrow road can be difficult. You know, sometimes I think we, how many times did people come to Jesus and, you know, think about the rich young man that came to Jesus and said, sir, what? I'll follow you. I want to follow you. What did Jesus say? Go sell all that you have, give to the poor and follow me. What? I got to do what? Sell all that you have, give it to the poor and come follow me. Did he do it? No, he didn't. Why? Because his possessions were more important to him than Jesus was. Remember the ones that come and said, oh, Lord, I want to follow you. And what does Jesus say? I don't even have a place to lay my head. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I don't have anything. You see, sometimes we make it out, boy, that the Christian life is just going to be super easy and it's going to be super fun and there's going to be no problems and no difficulties in life. Man, if you just give your life to Jesus, all your financial problems are going to be fine and all your health problems are going to be fine and all your family problems, everything's just going to be great after you get saved. It's not always that way. Now, I'm not saying it's horrible. But I'm saying there are bumps along the road. I'm saying there are some times when the road gets a little bit narrow and you're like, oh man, I don't know if I can make this. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make it through this or not. He says the narrow way is the way that leads to life. In fact, this is what Jesus says when we go with me to the book of Luke chapter 9. In the book of Luke chapter 9, in the book of Luke chapter 9, notice in verse number 23, it says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Look what he says. He says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, here's what you got to do. First of all, you've got to deny yourself. You know what that means? It's not about you. Your life's not about you. Your life is to be about Jesus Christ. You remember in John chapter 6, when Jesus gives he's teaching about that he is the bread of life and that you have to take him. And if you don't take Jesus Christ, then you can't be saved. In John chapter 6, in verse number 66, here's what the Bible says. From that day, many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. Wow. Now think about this. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the creator of the universe. And when he explained what it meant to follow him, I'm out. Nope, not me. You see, again, sometimes we have this idea that everything's just going to be easy, but we've got to recognize and realize when we go through that narrow gate and that when we go through that straight gate and we're on that narrow road, there are going to be some times when it's difficult. But here's the thing about it. When we're on that narrow road, there's always somebody right with us. Jesus is going to be right there with us no matter what we go through. Through the bumps and through the turns and through the, man, as David said, through the valley of the shadow of death. What does he say? The Lord's going to be right there with us every step of the way. So the narrow way is marked by obedience to God, holiness, self-denial, dependence upon God. Even in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, Paul tells Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, right? You know what endure hardness means? Sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes it's going to be difficult, but you just keep going. You just keep pressing forward, right? So we find that there are two gates, there are two ways, but notice there are also two destinies. There are two destinies. Look back with me in the book of Matthew. Each road leads to a final destination. I already mentioned this, but notice the first road, the broad road, the wide gate leads to destruction. This destruction is speaking of eternal judgment. Again, the broad road may seem enjoyable, may seem pleasurable and successful and popular, but its destination is destruction. And that's exactly what the devil tries to hide. He doesn't want you to see the destruction at the end of the road. That's why he makes the gate so wide, the road is so broad, because he wants your eyes everywhere else, but at the end and realizing, whoa, this is not where it needs to be, because it leads to destruction. And so he tries to hide it so that the traveler pays no attention to the end and runs off the road without having prepared himself. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, when I get to the end of my life, I'll make sure I'm ready. Can I ask you, when is the end of your life going to be? You don't know when the end of your life is going to be. You know what we're saying? I've got time. You know, man, I'm having fun. This is so great. You know, I'll get to that later. What's happened? You're just going down the broad road. Hey, it's exciting, it's fun. And the devil has gotten you convinced that, hey, there's no end. It's not right now. It's way down there. Just keep having fun. Just keep enjoying life. Just keep doing what you're doing. Hey, it's all about you. When you got plenty of time. Have you ever been to a funeral? Ever been to a funeral of a teenager? You ever been to a funeral of a child? Well, I thought we had plenty of time. I thought we had plenty of time. See, we don't know when the end is. And that's what the devil tries to hide. He tries to hide the end because not one of us knows when the end is going to be. And he hides that it ends in destruction. Jesus often spoke about hell in his teachings because he loved people enough to warn them that there is a literal place called hell, and there is a literal place that people will go to if they refuse to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, hell, the lake of fire, was never designed for man. It was always for the fallen angels. But because men have chosen to reject God and say, no, I'm not going to go through that way. I want to go through the broad gate or the wide gate. I want to go down the broad road. When you reject Jesus Christ, you have made the decision on which road you're going to be on. God doesn't want you on that road. That's why he gives another alternative. That's why the second road leads to life. This is what he says. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. This life is referring to eternal life. It begins the moment that a person puts their trust in Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait till you die to find out if you have eternal life. No, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you immediately have eternal life. You know immediately that from that point on, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse number 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ. See, eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ alone. No other way. You say, well, but my religion or but my grandma or my parents or, wait a minute, we're not talking about that. We're talking about what Jesus said. Jesus said this. These are Jesus's words. He says, there are two roads. You are on one of those roads today. You have entered one of those gates today. You're on one of them. There's not a third one. There's not a option C. No, it's A or B. That's it. You've entered one of those gates. You're on one of those roads. And here's the thing. Notice the two groups of people as well. There are two groups. He says in verse number 13 at the end, he says, and many there be which go in thereat. The broad road that leads to destruction, he says, there are many that are going there. Why? Because it's about self. We don't want to humble ourselves. We want to think that we can do it. But when we talk about the straight gate and the narrow way, he says, few there be that find it. Can I say tonight, be careful about just following the majority? Because truth is never determined by majority vote. You don't determine truth by majority vote. You determine truth by what God says. God said it. It doesn't matter if anybody else believes it or agrees with it or not. God said it. That's truth. That's what truth is. Think about it. In the days of Noah, there were many that were outside the ark, and there were just a few that were inside the ark. Hadn't God warned them? Yes. Didn't every time that Noah took that hammer and was building that ark and striking those nails, I don't know if they use nails, I'm just giving you an example, but striking those nails or whatever it was and sawing that lumber, every time he was doing that, he's giving one, hey, judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming. Hey, they built the ark, this thing that nobody had ever seen before, judgment's coming. Hey, here come the animals. God brings the animals right into the ark. Judgment's coming. Noah says, come on, get in the ark. Come on, get in the ark. Judgment's coming. And what did the majority do? You're crazy, man. We're not getting in there. What's rain? What's this big thing? What is this? You built a palace here for yourself, Noah? I mean, you think the majority got on the ark? No, they didn't. Majority chose to take the wide gate, the broad road. There were few that were inside. In the days of Elijah, there were many that were worshiping the false god Baal. Many worshiping Baal, and just a few that were willing to stand for God. Think about it. When the spies returned from the promised land, 10 discouraged Israel. 2 stayed faithful and believed God. See, the majority is not always right. Majority is not always right when it comes to truth. That's why we've got to find out what God says. And that's why it's so important to look and see, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, there is two gates, there is two roads. You are on one of them. The broad road has many travelers. And they think that because there are so many traveling this road, they could not be wrong. I've had people tell me, I've heard it, if so many religions teach this, in other words, that you can earn your salvation by doing something, you know, getting baptized or joining a church, if so many religions teach this, how could they all be wrong? Because Jesus said there's only one way. You see how he's talking about being discerning here? Because the world is going to throw all kinds of different ways to get to God. The world is throwing all kinds of ways to say, hey, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Jesus said, there's one way. There's one way, right? Why is there so many? Here, let me show you. Caden, I'm gonna put a mark. You see any marks on my fingers right now? There's no marks on my fingers, right, guys? No marks? I'm not gonna do a magic trick, okay? All right? I'm gonna put a mark on one of my fingers, okay? Don't look. Okay. All right. Put a mark on one of my fingers. Which one is it? Well, I'm not going to show it to you. Of course, it's on this side of me. Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't see anything. Which finger is the mark on, Caden? All right. Take a hand. Wrong. It was not on that hand. It's on this hand. I narrowed it down to you to at least five. The pointer finger? Wrong. Pinky. You see the mark? Why are there so many religions? Because the more there are, the harder it is to find the truth. Why does he say, wide is the gate, broad is the way, many there be that find it, but the straight gate, the narrow way, watch what he says, few there be that find it. Why? Because the world has put out so many religions. And by the way, can I tell you something? It's not just the world, it's the devil. The devil has no problem using religion. So how could the devil use religion? No problem at all. You know, the devil quotes scripture. The devil quotes scripture. Read the Bible. He quotes scripture. He quoted scripture to Jesus, the word himself. You don't think he's going to maybe take some scripture out of context for you or me or religion? So he has no qualms about religion, because he knows the more religions that are out there, the harder it is to find the truth. You say, how can you be so certain that you have the right way, Pastor? It's not my way, friend. It's what Jesus said. It's simply what Jesus said. Look, you want to believe Jesus or you want to believe the devil? You want to believe Jesus or do you want to believe what some men have come up with? I'm just going to believe what Jesus said. Jesus said he's the only way. I believe he's the only way. Jesus said he's the one that gives life. I believe Jesus is the one that gives life. Jesus said he's the only way that can take us to heaven. I believe Jesus is the only way that can take us to heaven. You know why? He's been there. I think he knows how to get there. He says, I'm the way. I'm the way. And that's why he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, the narrow road has few. Again, it does not mean that God's desire is for few to be saved. No, God wants everyone to be saved. The real reason is we're not willing to humble ourselves. We're not willing to admit that we can't do it. We want to think that there's something that we can do. The issue is not God's invitation. The issue is our response. God has offered it freely to anyone. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what whosoever means? Anyone. Whosoever. God says it is for anyone and everyone. But you've got to realize the wide gate, the broad road, is going to lead to destruction. And if I stay on this road, I'm not going to have life. I'm going to have spiritual death. But if I will repent of my sin and turn from that and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and go through the narrow way, the straight gate, the narrow way, that's where life is. So Jesus says there are two decisions that need to be made. You will either choose the broad road or you will listen to what Jesus says and recognize that no one, friend, no one that ends on the broad road ends up in heaven. No one does. Which gate have you entered? Church membership is not the gate. Baptism is not the gate. Good works is not the gate. Jesus is the gate. Which road are you traveling? Friend, here's the thing. Maybe you say, man, I think I've entered into that wide gate. I'm on that broad road. Here's the wonderful thing. You can get off. You can turn around and you can turn to Jesus Christ and he'll save you and he'll give you eternal life. You say, what do I have to do? Nothing. You say, it can't be that easy. Why not? Why can't it be that easy? Well, there's got to be something that I have to do. See, we're back to us, aren't we? Jesus says there's nothing that you can do. It's only what he has already done. Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and he offers you the gift of eternal life. You ever got a gift? Somebody gives you a gift, you look at it, you say, well, how much do I owe you? No. What do you say? Thank you. I appreciate that. That's so thoughtful of you. Jesus says he's offering a gift of eternal life. There's nothing you can pay for it. It's free. He's already paid it all. But you have to make a choice. You have to choose whether you're willing to receive it or reject it. You know, many claim to know Christ, but they show no evidence of walking in his way. Can I say that the road that we travel reveals the reality of the gate that we have entered? I know many people who have claimed to be Christians and everything that they're doing looks right, but they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's all just a show. The broad road, many, crowded. Yes, the narrow road may be lonely at some times. But can I say this? It's better to walk with Christ on the narrow road than with the world on the broad road. And the tragedy is that many choose the popular road simply because it's just what everybody else is doing. And Jesus has offered life. Which road are you on? Which gate have you entered? If you've entered the wide gate, you can come back. You can put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you can go through the narrow gate, the straight gate, and get on the narrow road and follow Jesus. Their heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts tonight. Lord, you want us to be discerning. You've showed us in your word, you've told us that there's only two ways that a person can be on. One leads to destruction. One leads to life. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight or watching via live stream that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've never put their faith and trust in you, you'd help them to realize, Lord, they're walking down that broad way. They've entered into that wide gate that leads to destruction. Lord, they don't have to go that way. They don't have to end on that road. They can turn to Jesus. And Jesus will save them from their sin. Jesus will give them eternal life. He'll take them through that straight gate and put them on that narrow road that leads to life. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about tonight, every head is bowed, every eyes closed. A very, very serious question tonight. Friend, do you know which road you're on? There's only two. Are you on that broad road? You've walked through that wide gate. It's popular. It's religious. It's what everybody else is doing. It's fun. It's exciting. Friend, it leads in destruction. You don't have to stay on that road. You can turn to Jesus Christ, and he can save you and give you eternal life. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you tonight. But maybe there's somebody here tonight. You say, Pastor, that's me. I really don't even know which road I'm on. And I'm afraid I'm on the broad road. I've walked through that wide gate, and this is the road that's going to lead in destruction. I don't want to do that. And I'd like to know how I could be on that narrow way. It leads to life. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not certain. Again, I'm not going to call you out or anything. I just want to pray for you tonight. But if that's you this evening, would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure. Just anyone tonight. Just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Not going to come to you, not going to call you out. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not certain. Just slip up your hand, put it right back down. I'm just not sure. I want to be sure that I'm on the right road. Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, you know you've entered through that straight gate. Are you following Jesus? Are you truly following him on that narrow road? Yes, sometimes it's hard, but don't quit. Don't give up. You keep following Jesus. Sometimes it'll be difficult, but he's right there every step of the way with you. Don't ever quit. Don't ever get up. You just keep following Jesus. Hey, we have life. He's given us eternal life. We have something to look forward to as well. A home in heaven with him. Lord, I pray you to help us, each one of us as Christians, Lord, to truly examine our heart and say, Lord, am I truly following you? Or am I allowing the things of the world to distract me? Lord, I pray if there's somebody that does not know Christ as their Savior, that you would speak to their heart and help them to realize that Jesus is the only way. It's not about a church or some religious ritual that we can do. No, it's only about Jesus Christ and him alone. Father, would you help us with this? Lord, we need discernment. The devil and the world has put all kinds of religions out there, yet there's really only two roads. The broad road, the narrow road. The broad road leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. Lord, help us to tell others about this gate that they can go through, that they might have eternal life as well. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.